Why?
Raised everywhere.
Are your techniques necessary? Most of them gave me an impression that they were far too advanced for these stupid techniques. So I deliberately started to wound, to hurt the ego. I am a very mischievous man by nature. And they were all very angry, red in the face, shouting loudly. So I smiled to myself, because to me, a man without rhythm and balance is like a ship without compass or rudder. So today, I have prepared a short note to thy frailty and to thy ego. But there is no mention about the frailty or ego. From their excitement, whatever I could gather, I have made notes for you today. And if I had not told you these few things, you would have thought that the notes are very similar to what we normally do. Finally, distribute the notes at least. I hope they are enough today. Expecting a houseful today. Kindly share today for the time being. To make existence understandable in a microscopic point, Param Satyam fill this point with the state of existence. That is, fill this tiny point with the substance we call cosmic mind or infinite mind or chitti. This cosmic mind exerts immense mind maya creative pressures on all that exists, irrespective of size or intelligence. From human standpoint, this cosmic mind is unimaginable, very potent, and all-knowing within existence. If any point is not clear, I would like to go slowly, color by color. Pardon? The frame is there hanging. A black book with you, I suppose. Turn to the color diagram there. There's only one color diagram. Existence understandable, that is the lower round figure. that is existence, which is shown in the upper round figure as a small circle. Correct? So the upper round circle is creation and the small little circle is existence, which in the lower part of the diagram has been magnified 100 times so that we can follow it. So, we read again, to make existence understandable in a microscopic point, Param Satyam filled this point with the state of existence. The state of existence. The state of existence. It is mine, not yours. That is the state of existence. If I have so much, I still want so much. That is the state of existence. If you are unhappy, I don't care. That is the state of existence. You understand what I am saying? So in this microscopic small point, Param Satyam filled it with the state of existence. That means it was very necessary to create mind. The most mischievous substance ever created by God. For the benefit of human beings so that they can be totally miserable. And after being totally miserable, some foolish, wise people try to show them the way out of their misery. So this is the state of existence. And fill this tiny point with a substance we call cosmic mind or infinite mind or chitti. This cosmic mind, what is the quality of this cosmic mind? To make you understand that 2 + 2 = 3 or 5. That is the characteristic of the cosmic mind. That it, this is white, you have to believe it is blue or pink. This is the quality of cosmic mind. I have described the quality of the cosmic mind as this cosmic mind exerts immense mind-maya creative pressure. Mind-maya creative pressures. The wisest amongst us is totally fooled into believing that whatever he sees and hears or touches or experiences true. And what is really true does not exist. That is what this beautiful cosmic mind teaches us. And we firmly believe. If we do not firmly believe, why, in spite of having such a short life, we want to build a palace and have 5,000 crores as our friend Harshad would have it? Why should we do all that if we are not firmly believing that this is the real world, this is where we have to stay always, though we may go away for some short time, after that we'll come back again? All this nonsense is being preached, not by any preacher, but by cosmic mind. This is the quality of cosmic mind. And from human standpoint, this cosmic mind is unimaginable, very potent, all-knowing within existence. And we are fooled to that extent that we raise our hand in prayer to it. We are so totally misguided to believe God is there. God is here, but still we believe God is there and we raise our hands like this. Correct? Okay. We go further. This tiny point we understand as Brahman, means Kalipuska, where all the three universes, Bhu, Bhuva, Svaha, float in this cosmic mind and always are under the mind Maya creative pressures. Bhu, Bhuva, Svaha, the three universes, physical, astral, mental, put together from Brahman, and all these universes, with all the galaxies, with all the light that prevails, is all under an impression that this is the real existence. Nothing beyond this is possible. We consider this tiny point as immeasurable. Billions of light years cannot measure or fathom, please correct, fathom. Even the smallest of the three universes, the Bhu of physical universe. And cosmic mind very beautifully exerts all the Maya creative pressures on our scientists. So that through that telescope and radio telescopes, they go on looking at millions of galaxies and millions of solar systems in each galaxy, and galaxy after galaxy running away at half the speed of light, and the universe ever expanding, not coming to an end. The whole picture described by science looks as if all the scientists are totally hypnotized. So this is what we learn in our science about existence. Existence that is never ending, immeasurable, though it does not exist. It is in this tiny point, existence, that we talk about the three states, so-called waking, sleep and dream. Here we have the infinite pairs of the opposites. Here we talk of death and birth. Here we have our religions, rites, ceremonies and philosophies. This is the sum and substance of existence. All your religions give you all your theories, your philosophies give you all the other ideas, your everyday very busy with your rites and ceremonies. I don't know. How far can these rites and ceremonies go? How many million light years they go? Because if God is there, will our rites and ceremonies ever reach? If your God is here, then why outside here your rites and ceremonies? I don't want to hurt any religious person. Here we have the need of light, food, air, body, individual cosmic mind, and all that we can feel, know, and can experience. Here we talk of duality, but all that we see, feel, experience, hold, need, possess, is all under cosmic mind, Maya creative pressures, and it all appears to us as real, so that we have never even doubted that it is so, because we all are under mind, Maya creative pressures, through our individual cosmic mind. You see how many things you need in existence. Life, food, air, body, mind, all that you can feel, know, experience. Here we can talk about duality. But what can we do? To survive in this existence, you have to depend on our mind. And our mind is a part of the cosmic mind. And the quality of the cosmic mind is to exert mind, Maya creative pressures. So, our individual cosmic mind will exert upon us in whatever we see or experience, Maya creative pressures. It is as if each one of us is hypnotized and yet does not know that he or she is hypnotized. That is the state in which we are living. Have you seen an hypnotic show? Have you seen some good hypnotic show? When you see, you believe, no? But when you see a hypnotic show, you know you are seeing an hypnotic show. But here, from birth to death, we are not aware that we are under hypnotic pressure, mind, Maya creative pressure. But after ages of repeated thought, corrected thought, we still fail to realize that it is not real, but transitory, and not capable of making us really happy, serene and contented. But Advaita, that is non-duality of Vedanta, cannot accept anything other than Param Satya. What happens if we don't accept anything else except Param Satya? What happens if we do not accept anything else except Param Satya? First thing we have to do is deny ourselves. I am not. If we have to firmly believe solely in Param Satya, the Advaita idea of Vedanta, the first thing we have to realize is I am not. Correct? Because if we don't bring that into focus, that I am not, then Param Satyam becomes a duality. If I am and if he is, it is the duality. So the first thing that I must be convinced is I am not. And you will say, how can I say I am not? I am. Here starts confusion. And I have told you so many times, my only purpose to come here is to confuse you. So, the details of Advaita Vedanta are that nothing whatsoever is born in any way. Nothing whatsoever is born in any way. That also means nothing whatsoever ever dies. Isn't it? If nothing whatsoever is born, then nothing whatsoever ever dies. So, if you are not born, you are not going to die. Right? But if you say, I was born, then you are going to die. Isn't it? Now, what is not born and is not going to die, and what is born and is going to die? Here we have two clear-cut ideas. If nothing is born whatsoever at any time, nothing dies whatsoever at any time, that is something. And if I say that I was born on so-and-so day and I will die perhaps in future on so-and-so day, then that is another substance. There are two different substances. Are they two different substances, or is one substance coming out of the other? If jiva is born and jiva dies, and atma is never born whatsoever and never dies, is jiva an outgrowth of atma? Are they two separate substances, or is one substance arising out of the other? Our minds must be very clear. But the trouble is, our mind is constantly under maya, creative pressures. And it will say, now, don't believe all that. You are an individual. You are born of these parents, your name is this, whatnot. You might even take out your passport and show me, here I am, an individual. Should you believe your mind and believe that you are an individual by yourself? Can you trace from where you came? A few thousand million years ago, where were you? Then you sit back and say, no, I can't go more than four generations of my grandfather and his grandfather. So, if you see minutely, when you say, I am an individual, my name is so-and-so, I was born in so-and-so town, you cannot trace what you are talking about. Let us see further. That the non-dual, unchanging reality is Surya. Even giving it a name or quality is false understanding. What is Surya? What is Surya? Unfortunately, all the wrong things are taught to us by books and by teachers and by so-called gurus or whatnot. Turiya is not the fourth state. The three states are sleep, dream, so called waking state. So called. Because when you are awake, you are in the past, you are in the future, you are never in the present. So you are in a dream state when you are awake. Surya is not a fourth state. It is the condition of Atma. Always is, always was, always will remain. Surya. Unconcerned, untouched, unaffected. Surya is not the fourth state of a human being. It's not the fourth state of mind. It's not the fourth state of achievement. We have just talked about something that is not born, something that is not going to die. That something is Surya. This is not going to become Surya. If this can become Surya, tomorrow my shirt will become Surya. Because this is a shirt of my Atma. You get my point, my friend? This is a shirt of my Atma. And it has three states of its own. It cannot be Atma. Otherwise my shirt tomorrow will tell me, I am going to be Surya tomorrow. No! My shirt cannot become. This cannot become. And all the while, all of you have read and practiced and are trying to achieve for this. What is the condition of Atma? We are mixing up. We are mixing up the shirt and the individual. Get my point clearly, friend? Surya is the condition, unchanging condition of Atma. Everywhere in every book you will read that Surya is the fourth state. When we say fourth state, it belongs to that condition where there are three states already. Atma has got no three states. This body, this covering has these three states. But Surya is not a state. It is the condition of Atma. Always unchanging. Always the same. And that is why we call Atma witness. It doesn't sleep with the body. It doesn't dream with the body. It is not awake with the body. It always is. Get the point, my friend? It always is. It cannot have a fourth state. Ishvara, the Gurudeva of the Yoga Sutra, is equated with Surya. Got it? It is not the fourth state over and above the three state experience in existence. There is nothing prior to, nor anything after Param Satya. If there is nothing after Param Satya, then I am continuing from the point Param Satya is. Because nothing can come after Param Satyam. So I must be from the time Param Satyam is. And if I am from the point Param Satyam is, then I am not this. It is clear I am not this. This shirt comes to me and goes to the dry cleaners. Isn't it? So if I am not coming after Param Satyam, I am coming along with Param Satyam. And what can come along with Param Satyam is Satyam, Atma. this cannot pass. This comes and goes, we know so many times. So, when I say, I am talking about myself, I am not talking about my shirt. I am not talking about my shirt, I am talking about myself. Understand? But Param Satyam is not void and non-entity. It is nothingness, emptiness, but it is not nothing or empty. Why is it called emptiness and nothingness? Why do we call it emptiness or nothingness? If I come walking to you, he is between you and me, but he doesn't stop me. You get my point? Param Satyam should be everywhere. There is no pinpoint anywhere in the universe where he is not. And yet, if I have to come here to there, yet, if this room is filled with 50 people, it is not disturbed, neither does it disturb us. Because it is nothingness. And yet, it is everything. There is no origination in any way whatsoever. That means you cannot say, once upon a time, God existed. Once upon a time, He created Adam and Eve. There is no once upon a time when you talk about Param Satya. Says, if I am not a part of Him, there is no such God at all. If I am not a part of Him, there is no such God at all. So, Param Satyam, in His infinite nothingness or emptiness, can hold all of us. Without being disturbed, or without disturbing us. He never comes, He never goes. And every pinpoint of Param Satyam is Satyam. Divine fragment, Atma. Divine fragment, Atma is nothing but a pinpoint of Param Satyam. In no way inferior to Param Satyam. And all the shirts and pants and saris is this, of which we should be not over anxious. Concept of birth, causation, suggests duality. It is a false idea. The point 8 is very important. Human mind is afraid and or is not yet developed to grasp this idea of Advaita. We are afraid to grasp this idea that only Param Satyam exists. The minute we think about this, as I just told you a few minutes ago, I do not exist. I do not exist. And we are over anxious to preserve this individuality. The first law is self-preservation. We are anxious to preserve this shirt and pants. So we do not wish to say, I do not exist. We do not want to annihilate our own self. We want to preserve it. And to preserve this shirt and pant, we married, we get children and grandchildren. To go on doing all this nonsense. Because we want to preserve our identity, our family tree. If a million family trees were to die, the earth will not be settled. Birth and death of anything is possible only through mind, maya, creative pressures, and not reality. Birth and death. Is it real? Or is it a serial going before our eyes? How many of you are watching the TV? The Bold and the Beautiful. And what's the other one? Santa Barbara. All you are watching in real life is Santa Barbara. All you are watching in real life is Bold and the Beautiful. But we want to watch this serial, the serial of human life. And we don't want to say, no, it is false. Because the minute we say it is false, the TV is closed. And there is no entertainment. There is in truth no world or the universe. It is all an illusory manifestation due to cosmic mind maya pressures. All is mithya and all is wrongly imagined. Yet, we have some good sense in saying that when we die, we carry nothing. But when we leave as if we are going to carry everything. And firmly believe that when we die, we carry nothing. Fortunately, otherwise what would happen? The question then arises, what is the cause of this existence that is appearing to all life as so real? The answer perhaps is, Satyam diversifies the mundane things, turning its mind outward, so the sastras say. But this is an unsatisfactory reply for those who cannot accept that existence does not exist. If I tell you this wall does not exist, you will very cleverly tell me, bang your head and see. Will you not? Huh? Is the banging of the head and the pain I experience also in maya pressure? Or is it real? How many of you wear those color glasses for the sun in the afternoon? Some of you do, no? Those color glasses. What do you see through those color glasses? A colored world? A colored world? Can't help seeing a colored world if you are wearing colored glasses. If you remove it, the world is different. When you put them on, the world is different. It's a beautiful technical world, you see. And the mind maya pressures, we are all wearing beautiful Ray-Ban glasses. And we see the world we want to see, the way we want to see. When everything is taken away from us, and we sit and cry, that is the most blessed moment in our life. When everything is taken away from us, we sit and cry. Because then we realize there is nothing worth having. Learn that way, or would you like to learn in some another way? Would you like to learn it after being taken, everything being taken away from you? Or would you like to learn with your normal life? In your normal life, if you want to learn, that is yoga. If you want God to take everything away from you, that is another way and a better way of learning. Did I tell you a story of a true story of a very old lady who is still alive? Some 60 years ago, this lady was a young lady, married to a very fine young man. An Indian lady, married to a very fine young Indian gentleman. She was living in Paris. She had a palace to live in, with cars and coaches and servants. So you can imagine how very well settled in life she must have been. And her husband had an empire in India. After marriage, she conceived and she gave birth to a child, a son. Naturally, she was very happy. But the French nurse looked at her and said, "What are you smiling about? He's going to die within a few months." She said, "No, he can't die." She came home and the child was about 3-4 months. The child died. She cried. Then she thought about the nurse. She went to the hospital to see the nurse and said, "Yes, you told me my son is dead." "Oh, that's nothing. You will have to give up all these that you have in Paris and go to India." After about a few months, the husband went to India, called her there, saying that we have to sell up all these pyramids. So they sold up all the palace and coaches and cars, and she came back to India. Then she wrote a letter and said, "I hope you are now satisfied. I've lost my son, I've lost everything in Paris." So the letter came, "Oh, that's nothing. Your husband is going to lose all the wealth he has got in India. After a month is so expired, he lost all the wealth he had in India." She wrote another letter to her. I said, "I hope now it is over." "No, your husband is going to die." After a few months, her husband died. And then came a letter from that nurse, that one of your faithful servants, with his name beginning with N, he will take you to his house, you can stay there, you have nothing to live on, not even the footpath. And one of her servants took her to his house and she stayed there. And there she is making papad. But when she lost everything, do you know what she got? Suddenly she began to see. And today, very wealthy people and politicians go to her and ask questions. So that is one way to learn. Would you like to learn that way? She is still alive at Opera House. People come and throw money at her feet. She doesn't take, she gives it to that servant. The servant is dead, his children. She is still alive. When the story was told, I couldn't believe it. So I went to see that lady. When I went there, she looked at me and said, "Why have you come here? People come to you to ask questions. Why have you come here to ask me questions?" I said, "I have not come here to ask questions. I have come to see a person who can take all this and survive." Because she was smiling and, "Oh, so you have not come to ask me like others come." I said, "No, I have just come to see her." She is telling me, "Would you like to share my experience?" I said, "No." Thank you. So this is one way of learning whether all this is real, whether it is worthwhile. You see? And the second way is to learn through yoga. So these are the two ways to learn. I have given you a true story of the lady who is staying there. Those who want to go and see her and ask her, I will give you address. So you want to go that way. Yeah. The self, page 3. The self, when a... Ji.
This problem
on
that lady.
Well,
no, on a lower level.
Lower level is no level. Go on that same level. Are you prepared to go on that same level? The self, whenever conditioned by Prakriti, is the cause of the whole universe. Understood? The self, whenever conditioned by Prakriti, is the cause of the plural universe. The self. Self is Satyam. Satyam, whenever condition. Condition means having a shirt and pant. This is the condition. Satyam is condition. Whenever Satyam is condition, this is Prakriti, matter.